This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be called part of the furniture. I like that. It's very good to be here. I'm sorry that I missed a very exciting sermon last week. So I got the boring bit, hey. I wanted that one on sex and intimacy, but they didn't give it to me. So I said I will set the... See us? Yeah, see us says I'm too straightforward. So perhaps it's too much of a risk. So I settled then for godly families. It's a safe one, hey. So before I start, I just want us to watch a clip, if that is fine with the guys there at the back. Okay, thanks, Tosca. Sorry, that's the wrong clip. Sorry, so it goes. Sorry. They don't have it. They did. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's the clip that I wanted to open with. But we don't have it. That's fine. So it's such a privilege to be with you this evening and to speak on godly families. And I am very aware of the fact that when we speak about family, we all have a different frame of reference for that. And I'm very aware of the fact that many of us have a lot of hurt in our hearts concerning family. And I also know that some of us here, and there are a lot of people here, I know that some of us, when we think about family and having a family, let me just see how many married people are here in the hall. Can you just put your hands high up? Okay, a couple of them. With children? Okay, well done. You can just salute them and have respect for them, okay? They need your respect. and I realize that for some of you, the idea of having a family one day or perhaps sooner than later is very exciting. And I realize for some of you, it is very scary. And some of you just say, I do not want to actually ever get married. And all of this is coming from our experience. And right from the word go, I would like to say that we prayed for you for this evening specifically, and we are trusting God that He will work in your heart. And we are going to pray for you afterwards. And if you come from a broken family, we are going to pray over you this evening that it will stop with you. And that with you and the generations after you, there will be no more brokenness, to whatever the extent of brokenness is. And if you have fears, we are going to pray over those fears and speak over those fears. And what we will be sharing this evening is around what a godly family looks like. But we are going to trust the Lord that He will reveal to you what you need to hear and what you need to know for yourself. And my prayer really was, God, will you just love on them this evening? Will you just reveal your love? Will you just, Holy Spirit, you know, God is such a gentle God. He comes with so much kindness and so much gentleness. And my prayer and what we prayed for you for this evening is that you will just experience His love and His kindness. And let me start by saying, whether you feel like this or not, whether you can recognize this in your life or not, we all crave family. We all crave a safe space where I can just be. And the clip that I wanted to show you, and you, some of you might have seen it, is where they had about 6 or 7 sets of couples, parents. And they said to them, if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would you have dinner with? And they all started saying, one couple said Nelson Mandela, I think it's a South American couple. Some said Marilyn Monroe. One lady said Justin Bieber, and her husband said, I will leave you, I will leave you. I will not have him at my house. And they all had a different answer, and they didn't know what this was about. So then they put them in a separate room, and they had all their children come in. And they said to their children, if you could have dinner with anyone, who would it be? And the first child said, my mom and my dad. And the second set of children said, does it have to be celebrities, or can it be family? And the third couple of children said, mom and dad and all the extended family. And every set of children said, family, mom and dad, family. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because this is what we all crave. This is what we want. This is what we need. And this is what God wants for us. And I realize as I speak to you that the majority here are not married yet. And I realize as I speak to you, I speak into your future. Any engaged people here? Aha! Okay. For you, it's not so far away, but I realize I speak into your future. And what I say this evening, you should just hold on to it. Can we make a deal? Just hold on to it and ask God to reveal this to you when you need to have this knowledge. I think it's an amazing thing that this topic was chosen for a bunch of people who are not married yet. Because you have the privilege to be equipped even before you enter into marriage and family. And that is a privilege. I also realize that some of you don't feel that you are ever going to marry, and I have respect for that. And some people never get married. Some are called to celibacy, some wait longer. I don't know you personally, but I know that God has something for everyone here this evening. So let's trust Him, even if there's just one thing that you need to hear, that you will hear that thing. And I am just so aware as an older person in my middle years, I am just so aware of just the absolute privilege to have so many younger people here that are open to listen to the truth and to apply it in your lives. I'm so blessed by that. God is indeed raising up a generation. And Shofar has been blessed with generation upon generation of godly young people. entering into godly marriages and having godly families. So shall we dig in? Okay, let me start with my family. Okay, that's me there. And my husband, and that's Michaela, Michael, Joshua, Caleb, and Leisha. Somebody said to me, why do you take a photo in front of the Spur? Did you go to Spur to take a picture? No, that's the airport, okay? It's not at Spur. we're not that weird, okay? So Michaela is turning 15 on Tuesday. They are not here this evening, which I think is perhaps better. Michael is 13 and Leisha is 11. Joshua is 8, I think. I'm not sure if he's 8 or 9. And Caleb is 7, turning 8. And so that is my family. I thought if I speak on family, I should just show you my family. I had some very nice groomed pictures, but it's too old and it's not recent. And I thought I'll just take the last photo that we have. Yes, so I am just going to share a couple of principles around godly family. So let me just start. And the first thing that I want to say is that godly families are not perfect families with perfect lives. They live by grace through faith. Can I say that again? I am starting this sermon going deep immediately. Is that okay? I'm probably starting with the most profound statement of the sermon, and this is that godly families are not perfect families with perfect lives. They live by grace through faith. They are not striving to be perfect. So when we look at the media, all the men are good looking and very attractive. All the women are, most of them are very thin and very well dressed. And even the children are just beautiful, good looking, and they have money. And you know, they have beautiful holidays and they just live this life. And we think, oh, one day I want to have, I want to be a family like that. That's not something to strive for. Not at all. Okay. Godly families are real. And let me read this scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So Anton and I have been married for almost 20 years. We married on Millennium Day, 1 January 2000. Two of you were not born yet then. Couple of you. Okay. So there was something called Y2K. Are you aware of that? They said that everything is going to crash. All the databases and systems in the world will crash. And some people said the world is going to end. And Anton said, let's get married on that day. And all our family were offended because they said, you don't get married on such a day. And Anton said, it only comes once every 1,000 years. We will take that day indeed. So we've been married for almost 20 years. And I can honestly say that up until now, and I have strived for perfection. And I tried to be a perfect wife. I tried to make Anton, to cause him and get him to be a perfect husband. It didn't work. I didn't manage being the perfect wife at all. Tried to have perfect children. Nothing like that. Nothing worked out. Until I realized perfection is not the thing to strive for. Listen to this scripture. It's from Deuteronomy. So God is speaking to Israel. But this scripture just really spoke to me. And I said I was going to go deep immediately. So Deuteronomy 7 verse 19, God is speaking to Israel and he says, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. You know, I look at our lives over the past 20 years, and we had the privilege to be students like you in this church in Shofar, but we were not so many yet, so we were not in this hall did not exist yet, so we were in another venue, but we were students like you, and we got married and started families, and I had the privilege to journey with Sias and Louise and Heinrich and Nikki and many of the people that you might know, that you might see here bringing the word. And for us, and the same for them, they can all tell you their stories. We have seen the signs and the wonders. We have seen what God took us through. And I can guarantee you, ask Eugene and see us afterwards if you don't believe me, many, many bags of salt that we had to eat. Husband and wife together. Many trials, many tribulations, many difficult things to force us to our knees and to teach us that God is our God by grace and through faith. This is how we as a family will live. And that he brought us out of many things. And it's different for every couple. We had very financial difficult times. We had difficult times in our marriage. We had difficult times raising children up until this point. For some, it's sickness, it's disease, whatever it may be. It is two people getting together, trying to make it work with different backgrounds, different ideas about life, different ideas about raising children, different ideas about money, marrying into a family that you don't really relate to or understand. But God does many signs and wonders, and God will bring you out. And we will talk more about this, but let me read from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 9. And this is Paul speaking. And as you might know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and the Bible doesn't tell us what it is, but Paul had something that he asked God to take away from him. Some people say it was a disability. We don't know what it was. But listen what he says. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, I look at my family, and many of us can look at our families, and I see many weaknesses. I see weaknesses in me, very much so, overwhelmingly so sometimes. I see weaknesses in my husband. I see a lot of weaknesses in my children. I see weaknesses. And I realize that God wants to come, and he wants to save us and carry us through and use us, and we can boast only in him and in nothing else. So right here, starting out, I want to say that when you get married and when you have a family, understand that it is by God's grace. And understand that there will be signs and wonders. There will be trials and tribulations. There will be good times and bad times and beautiful times and ugly times. But God will bring you through if you do not trust in yourself, but in him. And if you do not trust in your spouse, but in God. Let me read the next scripture, and then this will make even more sense to you. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11. Just one short, powerful scripture. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. You know, there are families in this world, many of them, who live fantastic lives. And they are sustained by the money that they have and that which they have that provides for them enough to live a comfortable, wonderful life and to have some good times. But then there are those called by God. And then there are those called to put their trust in the Lord. You know, God came to Abraham. Abraham didn't know who God was. He said, I want you to move. Take your family and move. I want you out of here. I want to uproot you. I am calling you by your name. I want to make your descendants as much as the sand of the sea. And Abraham had to leave his comfort zone. You can marry a beautiful person, and Pastor Heinrich explained to you how God sees beauty, and you heard that sermon, and that was a great sermon. Listen to it again. You can marry a beautiful person. You can have a wonderful job. You can have beautiful children. You can live a comfortable life. And I'm not saying that God does not want to give us comfort. He gives us comfort, and that's lovely. We want those things, and that's fine. But never, ever allow the comforts of this life to steal from you your trust in the Lord. Because God has a plan and a purpose and a calling on every family and on every individual. And as a family, you need to put your trust in God. Keep this, hold on to this. Let this come back to your ears once you are married and you start having children. I want to show you a beautiful photo. We can go to the next slide. So I thought, since Werner is coming here, I'll just do some advertising for him. So that's Werner from Survivor. Fan favorite. And that's Janae. She's a good friend of mine. And that's their son, Caleb. And God told Werner and Janae to add Talita to their lives. You see that beautiful little girl on Werner's lap. You know, that is not an easy thing to do. That is a faith journey. And there's a lot to say about that. But I just wanted to show you an example of answering the call of God upon your life. So Talita obviously has a plan and a purpose from God, and God decided to place her in that family. And Werner and Janae decided to parent her because they are obedient to the call of God on their lives. Let's look at the next photo there. Those are my friends, Benjamin, and our friends, Benjamin and Mariette. Benjamin, originally from France, but lived in Malmesbury for a while. That is his wife, Mariette, from Malmesbury. And those are their three children. And they live in Ethiopia, where they are missionaries. And the last time when we saw them, when they came to Somerset West, their children were indeed very thin. And they said, you know, it is hard there. The food is not very good, and our children are often sick. And we don't have that much access to medical care there. Why are they doing that? Because they are answering the call of God upon their lives as a family. And God will cause us as families to put our trust in Him if we allow Him to. And He will take us through things that will bring us to a place where we will have no choice but to trust in Him and to call upon His name. And a husband and a wife should make that commitment to put their trust in the Lord. The Word of God says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. You know, the world has all kinds of ideas about this life. Have you noticed? The world says this must be your salary. This must be you must buy a house. You must have holiday like this. You must go to this kind of a school with your children. You must save for this and for that and the other. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But let me say this. God has a specific plan and purpose for every family. And we need to seek His face to know what that is. Because there's an adventure that He wants to take us on. Let me read the next point that I want to make. A godly family with two parents, because some families have only one parent, is hard to manage without a godly marriage. So let me say this. Some of you come from one parent families, and we don't know what lies in the future for any of us. I have some friends who lost their husbands to death or to divorce, and they are raising their children on their own. I know there are some families where dads raise their children on their own. And I want to say that God is very much committed, especially to those who are doing it without a spouse. But let me say this. If there are two parents in a family, then a godly marriage is extremely important. It is very hard to have a godly family without a husband and a wife who has a godly marriage. Now, there's so much to say about marriage. And those of you who are engaged, I'm sure you read about marriage and you are doing marriage prep. And I know that many of you are walking around with all kinds of thoughts about marriage. I really believe that the Word of God has, and I mean, we all know this, has the ultimate advice on marriage because God invented marriage. But there's one scripture which sums it all up. And I'm going to read it from Ephesians 5 verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And then He speaks to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. You know, there are few things in this life as beautiful as a marriage that works. There are few things in this life as tough and as hard as a marriage that does not work. I've been in both with one and the same husband. So I speak from experience. And if we want to go to the basic bottom line of marriage, this is it. Husbands crave respect. They need respect. They want respect. They thrive under respect. And wives need love. They crave love and they thrive under love. And when a husband and a wife comes together, and sometimes it's a process, and sometimes we really need to grow in this, but God is committed to our journey. And believe me, it's a journey. Any of the married people here, do you agree with me? Anybody who did not have such a journey? It's a journey. But if you are committed to that journey, God will create the most beautiful thing between a man and a wife. There's nothing stronger than a godly marriage. And God is committed to that. And I want to say that there is no greater privilege for a child. And you know, God's grace is amazing. And if you did not grow up with two parents who had such a marriage, or who loved each other, where your mother respected your dad and your dad loved your mom, if you did not grow up like that, God's grace is enough for you, and you will change that in your family line. But let me say, a child who grows up in such a kind of family is extremely privileged. Because a child does not get his identity from anything else but in the home. It's not at school where he does well, where he performs well, or where the praises of whoever will come towards that child. It is in the safe space where my father loves my mother and my mother respects my father. And there's so much to say about this, but this is the foundation for so many things in this life. You know, I read a quote when I was preparing for this, and the quote said, "If you want to save or change the world, do this. Go home and love your family. Respect your husband. Love your wife." And the world is desperately looking for godly marriages. Desperately trying to find marriages that seem to work and trying to see what are they doing right. How do they get this right? And this is the basis of it. Love and respect. And children who grow up, and there's so much more to say about this, but we don't have time this evening, and we are not only speaking about marriage. But children who grow up in such an environment, they go and they repeat that same thing. A little girl who grows up to become a young woman in a house where her mother respected her father and her father loved her mother and was not harsh with her, she becomes that kind of a wife. And a young man, a boy who grows up in a house and sees this, he becomes that kind of a father. And it becomes a whole line of blessed people, confident people, people who understand the ways of God, which is what draws the lost ones into our midst. When they see and when they understand this. And once again, it's far from perfect. It's far from perfect. But God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for us to be committed to this journey and to just seek His face in all of this. Let me move on. And this is a very important point that I want to make. Firstly, I want to speak about stewardship. A godly family practices good stewardship. You know, time is a gift to us, and how we use our time is very telling of our priorities and of how serious we really are about our journey with God. Now, let me read from Proverbs 22, verse 6, firstly. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We are speaking about stewarding our families well. So the first thing that I want to say is, to train a child takes time, takes effort, takes commitment, takes sacrifice. You know, when our children, our five children were born in a time span of 7 years. And when they were small, it was very challenging because there were so many nappies and, you know, breastfeeding just for years on end and being pregnant all the time. And just, you know, never sitting down, never enjoying a cup of tea for longer than 5 seconds before having to get up and run after a child. And just not sleeping, being sleep deprived. And it was really tough. And I was thinking to myself, it's fine, this shall pass. And I will be older and it will be easy. It's not like that. Now our children are older. And it's so much harder because now is the time to teach them, to train them, to model to them how to live a godly life. It takes sacrifice and commitment. How are we stewarding this? Let me read the next scripture from Proverbs 10 verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. If you are lazy and you don't study, you might just become poor, hey? But the hand of the diligent makes rich. You know, I heard a preacher said, what you do every day matters much more than what you do once in a while. So I can stand here and I can bring a lovely sermon and you can tell me, well done, that was a beautiful sermon. But if I don't go home and live a godly life, this doesn't mean much. It's easy to stand here and talk. It's hard to go and live the life. And as a family, and as godly families, and I know you are not even married yet, and I'm going so deep, I understand this is, I don't know what else to share with you this evening. As godly families, we need to understand diligence. We need to understand what we do every day matters more than what we do once in a while. So a godly family spends time together. How do they do it? All on their phones? Together? That's just such a waste of time. Such a terrible waste of time. They have meals together. They read the Word of God together. They worship together. I remember once being very ambitious about our family's worship. Our youngest child was about 3 years old. And I decided to get some flags. How absolutely stupid of me. For the children, you know, to swing these flags while we worship just to make it more exciting for them. And the one child hit the other child on the head with the flag. And then the one poked the flag into another one's eye. And then one hit a glass and it fell off and the whole floor was wet. And that didn't work out for us at all. You know, and now when we have family devotions, so once a week as a family, we sit together, we read to the children, we discuss. You know, some of our children, so we have many, so there are lots of different things that we see. But some of them will sit like this. Oh, completely not there. Others will, while Anton is busy reading the Bible, one will just out of the blue say something like, do we have rugby tomorrow? You know, it's not perfect. The children's church called us in because our boys were so naughty in children's church. This is the truth. You can ask Sias. Louise called us in. It's the truth. I said to Anton, I think she's calling us in because she wants us to be children's church teachers. Oh, I was very wrong. It's not perfect. But that doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that family is priority. Can I tell you something? And this is just a journey. We made so many mistakes. We made so many mistakes. And fairly recently we realized, Anton and I realized, that for many years we made the ministry more important than our children and our family life. We prioritized the ministry and the work in the ministry over our marriage and over our children. And I'm telling you, there was some bitter fruit. Because you reap what you sow. We had to go for counsel. We had to fix some things in our marriage. We had to sit with our children. And everything has changed now. But let me say this. God is asking from us good stewardship. How do you know if you are a good steward? Go and write down what you do with your time at the end of the day and see how you spend your time. Godly families practice good stewardship. They spend time together. They are diligent in the small things. You know, we have all these ideas about parenting, don't we? Until you have children. Man, good luck. I'm telling you, your ideas will probably fly out of the window 2 days after that first baby is born. I remember I said, my babies will never suck a dummy. A dummy. Do you know what a dummy is? I just, it's so grillerig. And my children will never. Man, that first baby was 3 hours old. And I phoned my husband. I said, can you go to Clicks and buy a dummy? She screams and I don't know how to get her to keep quiet. Just get the dummy. You know, we have all kinds of ideas. But when life happens, we need to be diligent. And that is not easy. So God told me, you know, I know that God said to me, when you tuck the kids into bed at night, because we take turns in reading the word with them, and we have a family devotion once a week, and we try to get to all of them during the week individually, and sometimes two together, depending on the age level. And God said to me, I want you to just pray over them when you tuck them into bed. Do you know how hard that is after a long day? To sit with each child and just do a short prayer over them. I don't feel like it. So often I don't feel like it. But God will be asking from you diligence. Diligence in your marriage. Diligence to attend to the things that are really important. And when you do that, you build a solid foundation. And God will make you rich. Not necessarily with money, although that would be wonderful. But you will reap what you have sowed. If you teach your children to be obedient to you, they will be obedient to God. If you teach your children to work hard for what they want and to not just get it, they will become hard workers. If you teach your children to appreciate things, they will become appreciative people, respectful people. If you teach your children to seek the faith of the Lord and you model it to them in your imperfection, they will become worshipers. We need to be diligent. And I'm praying that you will hold on to this and apply these things when you are married and when you have a family. Let me carry on. Matthew 25 verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You know, this is one day when we enter into heaven, but this can be applied on earth. Well done, good and faithful servant. I looked at a lady the other day. Her children are all out of the house. And, you know, to me it seems like heaven. You know, just she and her husband just doing whatever they feel like doing. And I said to her, how does it feel to have 3 children who are now big and out of the house? And they are doing well and they are serving God and they are worshiping Him and seeking His face and laying down their lives for Him. She says, it feels good. It's nice. When we had to, we did everything and we were very far from perfect, but we did teach them to love the Lord. We did model it to them in our own imperfect way, but it's paying off now because they were diligent when they had to be diligent. And then there will come a time when God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you know, things don't always work out the way we want them to. But God's grace is enough. And I've seen families where children went astray. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And almost always, those children will come back to the Lord. Because they were diligent when it mattered. Because God will be asking from us good stewardship. And let me say this, young people, when you get married, you have a responsibility to be a good steward of your marriage. You will have a responsibility to be a godly wife or a godly husband. And if the Word of God says, wife, respect your husband, the Bible doesn't say when he deserves it. It just says respect him. And when he says to the husband, love your wife, the Bible doesn't say when she is lovable. It just says love her. You know, and what we have learned in our marriage, trying to be good stewards, and we've learned this, I have learned this the hard way. You know, there were times when my husband did not perform the way I thought he should, not taking out the trash or whatever. You know, and I felt I will not respect him. He does not deserve my respect. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. A husband who does not feel respected is not a nice husband to have around. And a wife who does not feel loved is not a nice wife to have around. Because God knows how these things work. And you can carry on and on and on, but God is asking from you and me good stewardship. You know, you get married, that's wonderful. The wedding day is beautiful. Then you go on this honeymoon, and for some it's wonderful, and for some it's not so wonderful, but still it's all new and fresh. And then, you know, some people come back from honeymoon quite shocked, you know, like this is not like what, bit different than what I thought. Yeah, let me zip my lips. But you know, there comes a time when you wake up in the morning and you look at this person next to you and you really don't like him. Or you really don't like her. And you think, why on earth did I marry you? And then you need to become a good steward of your marriage. And there comes a time when you look at this baby that takes everything from you, especially your sleep. And you think, why did I have you? I love you. I will die for you. But can I just give you away for a month just so that I can sleep a bit? And then God says, I want you to be a good steward. Because God is asking from us godly stewardship. You know what happens? The people around us, they see, and they learn, and they are interested. The Word of God says they will know us because of our love for each other. They will know the church because they will enter into a space where the marriages and the families are just blessed, healthy, happy, good, godly stewards. And brave to follow the call of God on their lives. Let me carry on. Almost finished. Godly families have an outward focus. Psalm 68 verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God puts the lonely into families. Do you know what I see, and I say this respectfully, in the church over the years? I see beautiful young couples. They are in love. They get engaged. They get married. It's beautiful. They have their first baby. It's a bit of a shock, but they get through it. They have all the gear. They have the pram, the monitor, the baby monitor. You get like, it's almost like a, the monitors are so fancy these days. It's almost like a drone that is like flying. It's just unbelievable. And they have like all, and you know, that's only organic and that's good. I'm all for it, you know, for this, for my baby. And I can't, you know, can't do this because of my baby. And that's fine. And I understand. I do get it. I had five of them. I do get it. But what happens? You lose your outward focus. God is calling us as godly families to live with open doors. The doors of our houses need to be open. We need to have an outward focus. Why? Because there are those who are lonely. And it's not, you know, some people are called not to get married. And you know the reality of that? They are lonely. Some people do not have family. I have a very precious person in my life who doesn't really have biological family. Some people don't have anybody. And do you have any idea how lonely this life can be? We need to open our doors. The Word of God says the orphan and the widow and the outcast, we are responsible for them. There's no better place for such people than to come into a family and to be loved and to be celebrated. And I'm not saying that you should have the whole world move in with you. That doesn't work either. I've tried that. But God says, take the focus off yourself and all your selfish needs. Share your food. Share all the rooms in your house. You know, we live by an open door policy. And when someone needs a home and they don't have anywhere to live, and we know about this, then we talk and we pray and we say, God, do you want us to take this person in? Yes or no? We took some people in over the years quite a bit. Some people, one lady that we took in, ended up being a convicted criminal. She was just released from prison. She told us a whole bunch of lies. It was quite a story. I won't go into the details, but it was just a crazy story, you know. And we could tell our children, see how faithful God is. He protected us through all of this. And we exposed this lady to the gospel. While she was with us, we dragged her to church, dragged her to Foundation One, dragged her to divorce recovery, dragged her to every single course that we thought was applicable to her. We need to understand that our families, we don't exist for ourselves. This is very important because I see this. That's why I'm blessed with Vander and Junae, who opened their hearts to a child that was not born from their bodies. I'm blessed by that. Because God says, take your eyes off yourselves, man. And this is what the world lives like. They live for themselves, you know, and they have beautiful homes and beautiful cars and beautiful holidays. Open those doors for more people to experience that. The lonely, the widow, the orphan. Ask God. God, is this the time? And there are times when it's not the right time. There was someone that I wanted to take in and I begged Anton and he said it's not the right time. And, you know, afterwards I realized it would have been a disaster. So it's not as if we just live without boundaries. We ask God, God, we have this money. What can we do with it? Who do you want us to give this money to? God, we have three cars and we only need two. Who do you want us to give it to? God, we have so much. Who can we share it with? God, we have so little. If we do share it, you will probably multiply it and bless us. Who can we invite? We need to share our lives as families. The last thing that I want to tell you. Listen to this beautiful scripture. Psalm 149 verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Who of you do that? Who of you sing aloud on your beds? in the shower. Okay, Sia does it in the shower. Our children sing all the time. We have to tell them to please be quiet sometimes. I want to say, and this is the last point that I want to make. There's so much to say about family, and I only had 40 minutes, but I want to say that godly families celebrate life. You know, Jesus was not religious. Jesus was not stiff, and he was free. He spent time with sinners, bad people, and he sat with them at their parties. He was just free. He loved them. And he said, "Let the children come. I love the children." he loved the women. They followed him because he accepted them as they are, the way that God made them. In that culture, women were very much not celebrated. But Jesus changed that. Jesus was just full of joy. And let me say this. God wants you as a married couple and eventually you as a family to just enjoy life. Sometimes it's hard. Yes, sometimes it's tough. But he wants you to just celebrate life. And in a family, this is very important. As a husband and a wife, and as children together, to just, and if it's a one-parent family, to just, you and your children, just have some fun times. Just celebrate life. So I have this clip that unfortunately you saw some of it before the hand, and it was meant for now. But I just wanted to show you my son. So this was just a random afternoon last week, I think, while I was cooking. You'll see our humble kitchen in the clip, and you will see the food, the oven is on, and then the rice is on the stove, you know, just cooking. And this is just a random moment in our house, just celebrating laughter and life and just the goodness of God. And I'm just going to show this to you. So I said to him, "May I please show this to the church?" And he said, "No, under no circumstances may you show this." I said, "But it's so funny, please." He says, no. I said, I'll buy you something. "What do you want?" He said, "I want an Xbox." I don't even know what that is, eh? No, we don't buy things like that. We can't afford it. I said, I don't know what that is, but it sounds very expensive, and I'm sorry. I can't. He said, "I will settle for the biggest top deck that you can find." I said, "Okay." So just have a look at Michael, and then I'll come back, and we'll pray. I will tell him that you thought that was quite good, hey? Okay. So, we are going to spend some time in the presence of God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.